Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode is sponsored by R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice, a welcome addition to anyone's sleep routine. Pace Case, if you know me, and you do, you know that I'm working all hours of the day, all hours of the night. So the sleep that I do get has to be very good sleep. And I'm always looking for ways to up my sleep routine. Sometimes I'll read a book to go to sleep. Sometimes
I'll... The Bachelor?
That book keeps me very awake. It's very engaging. That never puts me to sleep. I will sometimes just put down my cell phone after a long day of looking at a screen. It's nice to get some time away from the screen. I also will incorporate some R.W. Knudsen Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice. It truly makes you go to sleep a little easier. It's the thing you need to help you drift off into the dreamland.
As more and more people are looking to prioritize sleep, Organic Just Tart Cherry is having a moment thanks to Tart Cherry's potential sleep-related benefits and potential to aid in muscle recovery when you get those gains like clues. We're seeing this in the viral Sleepy Girl Mocktail trend on social media. R.W. Knudsen has a whole lineup of natural juices with zero added sugar, so you can feel good about adding them to your wellness routine. It's all about celebrating those daily wins. Organic Just Tart Cherry Juice is made from tart cherries, which may help you get a better night's sleep because they have natural melatonin.
R.W. Knudsen crushes only 100% real ingredients, so you can crush everything you do. Pick up a bottle at your local grocery store today.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
I always start with you, Trista. Obviously, you have remain with your person, and that gives me so much inspiration and hope. So with that, what would be your advice for just like, you know, like making it, you know, work in a long lasting, like healthy marriage?
You know, I will say that we're not perfect, like everybody, but forgiveness.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. How you doing, Pace Case?
Clues, I'm doing great. I effing loved this episode.
Be your authentic self.
We couldn't stop doing the podcast before we were recording again, but I loved it. I'm so excited to talk about it with you.
Yeah, I can't believe what we saw tonight on a variety of levels. It was, in my opinion, the best tell-all I have ever seen in my lifetime. And not just because of what happened in the first two frames of the show.
Wowee.
Which we will get into, of course. Astute viewers might have seen a sign in the audience that was interesting. We will get into that. But I just want to congratulate you. Because when we first started this podcast, one of our goals was to do a show that would, in the same way ESPN or SportsCenter, became not only commentary on the sports they were talking about, but became kind of a part of the sports as well, a part of the fucking culture of it. And I feel like that was one of our early goals with this, is that we saw this game in a way that we weren't sure if anybody else did. And then we started doing the podcast, and indeed a lot of other people see it that way as well. And now to finally be on screen, recognized by the game itself, is to me a step forward. We've hit a goal here that we set out to do 3 years ago.
Clues.
Yeah.
We're in the document.
I know.
And not the way I was in it before.
Yeah. No, this was a producer choice to put us in the document. So we can't thank the producers enough. But we're going to get to that.
I mean, we've seen so many things coming out of like the publication of How to Win the Bachelor and like ways that the game in our minds has changed since we've been doing this. But now to see it actually on screen was just...
Yes.
Wild. It was amazing. It was, yeah.
We'll get to it. Excited. We'll talk specifically about what we're talking about in one moment. But Pace Case first, do you want to talk about HBO Lax?
Yes. We have a piece of business, Pace Case business, HBO Lax. We have picked our new shows for next season. So we are doing season one of Jury Duty as our first show. Oh,
that show's fucking great.
I've only seen maybe one or two episodes, so I can't wait to get into it. Catherine really doesn't like cringe content, so I'm a little bit worried. Oh, but
that's going to be tough for her. Yeah, that's a tough one then. That's the whole show.
I was like, have you watched, what's it called, Nathan For You? And she was like, I couldn't. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
But we're also going to do Silo.
Okay, cool.
So Jury Duty's on Freevee, and we're doing Silo as our Patreon episode.
Nice.
Which is a show I've become obsessed with.
Fantastic. I highly recommend at least reading Silo. I haven't seen the show, but I read the books, and I did like them quite a bit.
I watched this season, and then I went and listened to all three audiobooks in a row. Like, I was just so into it. It's kind of a dystopian thriller, kind of a little bit in the vein of the one where they do theater in the dystopia.
Oh, Station 11?
Station 11. Yeah, I feel like it's a little bit in that vein. But yes, that is my Pace Case business. Go to HBO Lax Pod on Instagram and HBO Lax in wherever you listen to podcasts.
And I have no Bachelor Clues business other than the business we are about to do right now.
Well, what about an update on how you're getting in the best shape of your life?
I mean, yeah, I am. Period.
I feel like that's some Bachelor Clues business.
Is it? General upkeep as I'm aging? That's some golden Bachelor Clues business. No, we are now going to do what we came here to do.
And now, Pace Case and Bachelor Clues proudly present... analysis of play in this week of our beloved game. This is Game of Roses.
This is it. This is season 20, Bachelorette, episode 8, Men Tell All. We get our little intro. Welcome to a very special edition of The Bachelorette. Jesse Palmer, we see this promo cut down. He's wearing earrings as Brayden's in the hot seat, so we already know some crazy shit's going to be popping off. All your favorite men from charity season are back. The crowd is shocked. Brayden is two-sided. Oh, he's being real. Brayden didn't care about anyone else. Xavier still has feelings for charity. Xavier walks off the stage. They made that seem like he was storming off in anger. We found out later it was not. We see a council of crowns. This is that legacy that we have been dreaming of, that we have been begging for at least 2 years now. Finally, we're getting it. And we see, of course, Golden Bachelor Gary Turner intro.
They say it's for the 20th Bachelorette season, but this must stay. This feeling of legacy, like,
yes,
I love it. It was the other reason I'm so excited about this episode, is it just felt like pristine. It felt professional. It felt like respect for the game. So much nostalgia.
Yes. We'll get to it. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Sorry, we're still in the promo.
Yes. So portion one begins live in the studio audience. Now, strangely, this was a surprise to me. I thought we were going to get the conclusion of last week's Fantasy Suites. We do not get that. And by the way, I didn't miss it. There was enough material in this tell-all that it never felt like it was dragging to me. And it felt like everything they were doing was fucking worth me watching it. Sometimes in tell-alls, you get these long, boring periods where it's like, oh, Jesus, why are they still doing this? Couldn't you have done anything else? I never felt that way during this tell-all. So DLP walks out. Everybody cheers. And we start to see a few signs. We always see this. Some people in the crowd holding up signs. We see a sign that says, Braden, trade earrings with me. And then the next shot we see. This is the next sign we see. And it's very big. It's right in the shot. You see multiple people looking at this sign.
Second sign in the document.
Second sign. Almost like second flower. It is a literal demonic sign of Dark Lord Palmer. There is flame at the bottom of the image. His eyes are red, just like a meme that I might make from time to time. And it says on the sign, three letters, DLP. There is no mistaking. This is a direct reference to what we call him, Dark Lord Palmer, DLP, a direct reference to the tone and style of the memes I have made over the years of all the Dark Lords being demonic, soul-sucking, satanic figures who dine on the death and misery of all the players in our beloved game.
And we say praise be Dark Lord Palmer at the end of every episode, except a couple of special ones.
We cannot thank whoever was responsible for putting this sign in the document enough. We know it took at least two people. There was the sign maker and the sign holder. We don't know if they were working in concert or not.
We know that those are different people?
No, we don't know if those are different people. Maybe they're the same person. But if they were different people, thank you to the sign maker.
I thought they might be one and the same. Mm. And this lady holding up this sign, it's covered in flames. Her shirt is a brilliant magenta. She is a shining gem, as you must dress in this audience. And she is giving the biggest smile in the world. And this is why this lady was my
Jorge Moreno bystander of the week.
Ooh, nice.
I mean, my favorite moment of the episode, obviously.
This is my favorite moment in Bachelor history.
And she did it. She did it justice.
Obviously, this is a biased opinion, but again, I have personally never been as satisfied in watching.
We've never had biased opinions.
The Bachelor than I was in this moment, because it all the things we said up top, it meant that we are influencing the game in exactly the way that we wanted to do when we first started out doing this, that we're being in some way absorbed into it. It also means mm-hmm. whether this person made the sign or whether someone else made the sign and gave it to them to hold aloft, someone made the decision to put this in the edit. That mm-hmm. was definitely a producer, 100%. So it definitely means that we are now at least being accepted. The fandom, which I believe we represent, like a deep fandom of this game, is being accepted by the show as integral to the game. And all throughout tonight's episode, that is what I felt. I didn't feel contempt from the producers for any of the players or for the fourth audience. And indeed, we'll get to another part.
They highlight the super fans.
Yes, exactly.
They put stuff in just for the super fans. When have they done, like...
They never do that. They ignore the super fans, generally speaking. Or demean them in ways.
Or just post their racist comments.
Yeah, that too. Luckily tonight that didn't happen. But this to me, it really was like a moment like, speaking of other podcasts, like you're talking about HBOX, on Dudezy, this other podcast I do with a friend of mine, Will Sasso, we've started to see things where people who listen to that podcast and like our YouTube channel and stuff will go to pro wrestling events, WWE events, and hold up signs in those crowds of stuff from our show. And every once in a while, they pop in. You see them in the WWE broadcasts. This felt very much like that.
You're infiltrating the WWE.
Yeah.
The WWE and the MTA all at the same time.
No, it's true.
Two huge, two iconic gatherings.
No, but I mean, this just felt like this is different because the in the WWE, like the producers aren't sitting there like, get a shot of that sign. It's just people like in the crowd, which is cool. But this is something a little different. It's elevated because a producer had to make this decision.
Yeah, this is a crafted.
Yeah.
Crafted document.
And it, like I said, it really, to me, it feels like the producers accept now that this podcast tier, people like us and us specifically who are covering the show at a high, high level of super deep fandom, you know, like obsessive, you might call it. They're acknowledging that that is a part of what makes this show successful. It's a, like our allegiance to the show as a collective fourth audience is why it still exists. And to pay us some kind of at least acknowledgement, I think, is a smart thing to do in this show. And we'll go through the rest of this document. There's acknowledgement all throughout it.
Yeah, there is. And it feels tonally so different from the seasons that we've been used to the last few years.
Yes.
Which are just like a little bit, they just don't feel the same.
Remember Heather Martin, Bachelor season 25. They invited her to the Women Tell All, and then they fucking disappeared her in editing. But they were sloppy about it, and you could see the back of her head in a few shots here and there. But she was there. They never introduced her, and then they tried to make it seem as though she was not ever there. That is horrible. That's disrespecting a player who, by the way, you forced to fucking live in a hotel room and spin pizza boxes on her head to get screen time, and then you just fucking dismiss her from the record?
Pizza is the first thing I always thought of.
God. Anyway.
She should be back. Why isn't she back?
Maybe she'll be the next Bachelorette. Anyways.
There's a Heather Martin-esque player on Love Island USA this season.
Oh, nice. Moving on. DLP then soft intros some of the players. John, Sean, Adrian, Xavier, and Braden. Usually, at this point, you introduce them all, but here you get just a little taste. Here's your favorites. Here's some that you may remember. And we see for the first time in full view Braden's outfit. This is a man who came to fucking play. Black on black on black, except for a white tassel necklace that he has hanging around his neck. And by the way, the suit coat he's wearing is almost like a duster. It is long. This is like a Harry Potter style wizard look.
Matrix.
Fucking beautifully done, dude. Everybody else sitting up there on that stage look great. You're in a suit. You've got a tie. You don't. You're wearing a t-shirt under the suit jacket.
You have a cowboy hat on.
Yeah, the cowboy. Caleb thought he was going to fucking steal the show with that outfit. Ha-ah. You've been upstaged.
He just cut out.
Yeah. This Braden's outfit choice to me was fucking perfect. It's saying, yeah, I'm the villain. I fully embrace it, and I'm going to look better than all of you doing it. It's fucking great.
What do you think about John B. being in the second row?
Not good for his potential bachelor possibilities, but I do think that they gave him way more screen time than he should have gotten for where he finished in the season. So I think they might still be trying to play with that in some way. And they've got a long time to announce The Bachelor. They're not going to shoot that season until probably the end of October, beginning of November. So we've got a few months still, and they're really obviously pumping up Gary Turner. That's where they're focusing most of their promotion right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought we were going to get a Paradise promo in this episode.
Well, we did. For one player. Okay, you see.
That's true. In this soft open, DLP says, great earrings, brother, to Braden. And DLP, I mean, this line, I replayed it over and over again. Did you? Spill the tea. I am very thirsty.
And then he references it again, that his cup overfloweth with tea later on after his thirst for tea has been slaked. At any rate, then DLP intros the rest of the guys. We get Spencer. This is finally the full roster here. Spencer, Adrian, Pete, a.k.a. PP, John, James, Caleb B., John Henry, Michael, Aaron S., Braden, Xavier, Tanner, and Sean. 13 players. John gets the first speech play here, and this made me think maybe he is Bachelor. DLP throws to him always the same opening question in every tell-all.
Yeah, Dark Lord's choice.
And he says, what was it like seeing Charity for the first time? And John gives us a very standard answer here. Exhilarating.
once he got out and he saw her, he forgot everything because she was just so beautiful. The blackout scenario that can happen to the player who's asked this question. We've seen this exact answer given multiple times. Spencer then gets a $1 million question. Do you regret asking Charity to kick him in the nuts? He says he wanted to show vulnerability, so he was okay with it. And this is the only thing Spencer's going to say for the entire Men Tell All. Ball dropped here. Could have done a whole monologue about how he likes to be kicked in the nuts and what it really means to him. And his mom kicked him in the nuts when he was young or something. I don't know.
I thought he was going to get a demonstration here with someone else, but
anything. Could have brought a cup as a prop.
We get our first reel. This is what seems to be a drama reel, but really is just a villain reel for Brayden. We see people, you know, talking shit. Someone's more interested in 100,000 followers. We see the tattles. Meet me in PB. We end with both Sean and Brayden doing these funny grins, almost my face plays. And DLP says, Sean, what do you have to say to that man? And Sean basically says, like, you're manipulative. And Brayden says, you know, you had doubt. And he's like, you doubted her. Brayden's like, until I knew for sure, I'm not going to get to that point. I don't feel like either of them really come out ahead in this one.
No. But this is a common tactic in the tell-alls to identify basically the biggest villain of the season or an early villain in the season. Identify them as a target. The Dark Lord will do that. And then it's open season. Once that target is identified, he might or might not give one player like the first attack, but it's open season. Anybody can jump into gang attack here. And we start to see that Michael jumps in.
Or do a defense.
Right, or do a defense, which is rarer. And you're definitely putting yourself out there on a limb if you do it, because you then open yourself to counterattack from any of the gang attackers. But here Michael jumps in as part of this gang attack asking, well, why did you come back then to take other people's time if you knew you were going to go off the show? And of course, Brayden can't say this, but the answer is, because the producers told me to come back in and I would be able to go to paradise. That's the true answer. But Brayden says he came back because he was in a heightened emotional state and he just wanted to apologize. John then jumps into the gang attack saying, timing's everything. And you took a crucial moment right before a rose ceremony when I was talking to her. And Brayden is like, you want to make it like I stole your time for conversation, but you were making out with her. I let you wipe her makeup off your face before I ever let my presence be known. And this gets the first big laugh from the audience. This is a big win for Brayden in this defense against John, in my opinion.
We also see Aaron S. defend Brayden. DLP then asks Adrian about his rivalry with Brayden. And Adrian's like, you know, we knew there's going to be a lot of kissing. And then DLP says, Yos, and you're not the only one upset about this, Yosef has a daughter at home. I was like, am I hallucinating?
No. If you are, so am I. And I'm okay with that. Can you and I share in this joint hallucination for the rest of our lives?
What kind of brain experiments, portal openings are you doing?
It's so perfectly done by DLP here. And I know this is written by producers. I know that he's not off the cuffing this. This is a moment that is engineered, but it is perfectly done. It is perfectly engineered.
Oh, he has comedic timing.
He also has an earpiece. And the producers are like, and now. But what it does is it shows us as an audience that they're on our side. We all know Yosef is kind of a shitty asshole villain that we can laugh at and make fun of. And they made fun of him multiple times throughout this season. It is.
They had Aaron S. do an ITM that said the same thing. It was different for me seeing it come from DLP. I was like, this is like official.
Yeah, it was great. I fucking loved it. Then DLP says, Brayden, you were saying all along that you were being real and everyone else was fake. And he comes in and he's like, well, their realness is just different than mine. And DLP won't let him off with that. He's like, how so? And then Brayden says, everybody puts on a facade. Even the self-censoring of cuss words on this very Men Tell All is evidence of that. And Adrian then kind of jumps in.
This is right before that, Adrian had invoked Sleucian protocol and then accidentally said shit, which they bleep out.
And so Brayden uses this as evidence to say, we all are kind of like putting on facades, or you all are. Adrian says, Brayden was telling the guys one thing and then Charity another thing. And Brayden says, Adrian falsely accused him of calling Charity classless. It escalates. But the first thing is, do we have tape or not? And this tape kind of defense will come back later in the show.
they don't have tape, or at least they didn't play it.
They put a title card that says a search was made for footage of Braden calling Charity classless, and so far no footage has surfaced. I was like, what?
Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but they're playing into the narrative of this fight. They're making it a more important part of the show than it normally is. Usually what happens in these kind of group fights in the beginning portion is it escalates into a screaming match, and whoever the Dark Lord is like, okay, settle down. We got to go to commercial, and that's it. They kind of dismiss the players as being stupid, or their argument being frivolous.
Screaming over each other, yeah.
It's kind of like an eye roll from the producers at whatever they're saying. Here, the producer's saying, we're taking what they're saying seriously. We looked for the footage and we couldn't find it. Now, there's a little tongue-in-cheek joke play here going on, but it's at least acknowledgement that what these players are saying is important. What they're presenting in the document is important. They have reverence for it. Mm-hmm. And I might add, when Braden goes to the fucking audience and says, does anybody out there remember me saying classlessness? Somebody says, yeah, a bunch of people nod. But this is a literal fucking fourth audience play in the goddamn game. You have fourth fucking audience members literally playing in the fucking document.
It was like Gladiator. It was like, do you give a thumbs up or down? It was like, are you not entertained?
Fucking beautiful. Fucking beautiful. This was such a strong first portion. I really was like, how are they going to fucking keep this up? And God damn it, they did it. They fucking did do that. Every portion. Ugh. Better than the last. Portion two.
It's so good.
We now get in portion two, DLP's asking Tanner, what did you not like about Braden? And Tanner gets this whole thing about he got validation every week. He reminds us he got the FIMP, but he kept getting negative every week. And when he said he was packing his bags to get out of there.
Tanner must be in paradise, is what I gathered from this edit.
Yeah, I think definitely. Because they're going to have to fight. They were trying to trump up some kind of altercation between them. I feel like him and Tanner are going to get into it on sand. But Braden basically says it wasn't about charity. It was about the experience. That's why he turned negative. Tanner says it was about charity. You were calling her fake. And Braden is like, how are you supposed to form a connection with someone when other guys are talking about what you're saying behind your back? And then Xavier jumps in because you weren't smart about what you said. Xavier's saying this to him. It's like, motherfucker, I watched you go to fantasy suites and burn yourself alive by unnecessarily admitting that you had cheated on someone and then just fucking digging the hole deeper. Charity even later says you just kept digging the fucking hole. And this is the guy who's like, you weren't smart about what you said, dude. Huh? Huh?
Yeah. Look, his game has tanked a little bit this season. Not going to argue with you. Braden then says, yeah, I had to be manipulative, play a game. And then we see, who is the guy who has the ascot?
I believe that was James.
James. He defends Braden. He says, Braden's just honest and has cool earrings. And Braden says, no guys told me there were problems. Tanner was my roommate and you're talking smack about me. And Tanner's like, well, you did talk yourself out of night one. Talk yourself out of Oceanside. He really goes in on him. And Braden says, I never blew smoke up her ass. I forgot.
Yeah.
Tanner says, you're taking attention. Lots felt that way. Only my interviews were shown. He's like, these are saucy and tapes. And DLP steps in. Sean, were you excited when Braden left? And Braden goes, yeah, because he finally had a shot. Oh.
Nice.
Nice.
Then DLP throws to James to discuss why he was mad at Sean. James says the problem happened when Sean chose a seat to make it easier to get first responder on the group date, where he kind of wedged himself in between everybody. And Tanner says he wanted to punch Sean in the face for this transgression. And it's like, that's just play. That's gameplay, dudes. Sorry. Aaron S. then says it wasn't that he took her first. It was that the last thing they wanted to see was him skipping in and singing a song. He was walking into a hornet's nest, so he was kind of rubbing it in their faces. I agree a little bit here. It was bad second audience game on that group date. And Sean says, we had the most incredible day in Oceanside. I thought everybody was still happy. Then Pee-Pee starts to talk here. Pee-Pee chimes in from the back row. And Caleb does not have it. This is Caleb Ballgard in the cowboy hat. Hold up. Who even are you? Then he kind of tries to launch this. It's a standard attack for any night one player. We see this literally in every tell-all at this point. if you get kicked off on night one, it's, why are you talking? We don't even know who the fuck you are. And then DLP says, Pete, you went home on night one and we barely got to know you, but there was drama when you went home. Now, what is about to unfold, I had no fucking idea about. Did you know about any of this? Literally none.
Me either. No. I was going to ask you. I was like, wait, what?
Didn't know about any of this. This must have been some deep forum shit. If anybody knew about it, I don't know. Other than these, it must be somewhere on the internet.
I don't know. I was like, this is wild that they are choosing to address this, which I did not even know about.
But although wild, I fucking loved it because it lets us into something that's actually interesting here. The basic thing that gets broken down here is that all the other guys had this cast Zoom call after the season wrapped, and they put this tag on their Instagram posts, FP, after whatever they posted, like, so fun to be on The Bachelor, hashtag Bachelor Nation, whatever, whatever. Then down in the very bottom, like, space, FP. And so Braden, I guess, told Peter that this FP meant fuck Peter, and he didn't know why they would have done this, but it affected him. Xavier then jumps in to apologize, said they shouldn't have done that.
It was a bad play, Xavier says.
Says it was a bad play. And when he said that, it made me think, you're right. In fact, it was my...
Error of the game.
To have a play like this haunt not only one person, but basically all of the fucking guys, and come from the ether of the parasocial world to be materialized in flesh in our beloved game at a mental all is just beyond insane. That you would make such a bad fucking play, you would have to answer for it here, and they all kind of have to answer for it. The reason that I did enjoy this, although it was my era of the game, I like getting these little glimpses behind the scenes of how do these players interact with each other once the season is done.
Yeah.
There are group text threads with all of these players from every season. They break down into all kinds of different categories.
Yeah, it's about Instagram.
Well, yeah, that too. It's also an Instagram play. But then also, I became immediately curious, what do they have against this guy? They met him for like 10 minutes. And we get into it. They fucking literally asked that question.
This... was the only thing I saw that was bad play in this whole episode. The group decision to do hashtag fuck Peter was also my
error of the game.
It's like literally like reminiscent of like childhood. I feel like fifth grade girls in my class did this kind of stuff.
Yes, I agree. It really paints them as very immature, but also they just have time on their hands. Like, who came up with this idea? Will we ever know who is the mastermind behind the FP posts?
I don't know. We should make a spreadsheet. We need this in the...
It seemed like it was Xavier to me. Xavier was the most apologetic about it, for sure. He was the one that was like kind of taking the lead on the, let me handle this, guys.
On the apologies.
Yeah, I felt like it was probably him. And with the gameplay that he turned in this season, exactly.
Look, I wouldn't be surprised if it was Xavier. That's
He's
all.
Like, dudes, I got two things planned. I'm going to tell Charity that I cheated, and then I'm going to tell her that I didn't do anything to try to fix it, and we're going to do this fuck Peter thing. It's going to be a blast.
PP says, my family, my parents, my church group saw that. What did he do on night one? Is it just this thing about the endorsements?
Yeah, I guess. Well, they kind of say, like, you were playing to camera. John jumps in and is like, you were playing to camera. You turned to a camera. And then you were like, hey, who do you think's here for the wrong reasons?
This was a mini error for me. John, why are you attacking?
Exactly. Especially if you're in bachelor contention, you're above this petty shit, dude. You mm-hmm. can't get down in the mud like this. But, bunch of people try to call him out for monetizing the experience. Xavier apologizes again. I thought it was an inside joke and it was wrong.
Merch is 40WR.
And then DLP gets to the bottom of it, asks him if he ever made t-shirts. And he's like, of course not. In my head, I'm like, what would he have made them about? He didn't have a catchphrase. He was in it for one night. What's the t-shirt? I was on The Bachelorette and all I got was this lousy t-shirt. Like, that's about all he can do. You know what I mean?
PP.
But now... because of all of this, and this is also why it was kind of an error, this is the Streisand effect. You're familiar with this?
No.
Someone took a picture of Barbara Streisand's home, which was on a cliff, I believe, in Malibu. They were just out on a beach, and they took a picture of this house, and it happened to be her house. They posted it somewhere, and she was like, fuck you, that's a picture of my house. Take it down, I'm suing you. And this person was like, well, let's do it, let's go to court. You can't fucking sue me for that. And so the lawsuit that she applied against them became more famous and drew more attention to it than the picture ever would have. And that is exactly what happened here. They brought so much attention to this that he now can make a t-shirt.
Yeah.
If he wants to.
Get me to 100K.
Yeah.
I am the real PP.
I am the real PP is probably the first one he's going to do. He's probably working on that right now. So DOP gets to the bottom of it. No t-shirt. And then he teases Braden's in the next hot seat. Portion 3 begins. Back in the studio, we have the first hot seat is Braden. We get a Braden recap reel. And then DLP asks him, how does it feel to watch it back? That's a very common first question from the Dark Lord upon watching your own reel. It's tough, he says. What bothered him was to see that he and Charity really did have a connection. And seeing how patient she was with him, that was hard because they both work in mental health. And, you know, that's what you need to do it. DLP asks him, what his reservations were about in the show, why he couldn't get to that level. And he says it was the getting down on a knee. He couldn't do it. Once he realized that, he realized he shouldn't be there anymore. DLP asked him why he came back in Skamania, Washington. Again, the producers told him to, but he says he didn't want to make it about him, but it wound up that way. John then gets a tap from DLP and he says it hurt him because he was the only guy sticking up for Braden the week before. And then he was the one who got stolen from, basically. And Braden's like, if it means anything, I thought your conversation was amazing. I stood there and listened to the whole thing. This guy's just fucking like, it's unbelievable how good he is. There's never a moment when he's on screen that you're not being fucking entertained, at least in anticipation of what he's about to do. He is just such a fucking magnetic player, a brilliant player in terms of instinct, how to turn anything in his favor to, even if he's the bad guy in it, he's still the most entertaining guy in it. Always.
I mean, he was a huge part of this episode. He even made himself a huge part of the Gary bit, which we'll get to. But, like, unbelievable player.
Virtually every scene was his.
Braden tries to frame it as he was apologizing to someone he hurt, not trying to hurt them. DLP asks about the van incident, and Braden says, I was going to beat them up. And he says, by the way, there was no driver in the van when Aaron B said hit the gas. He like takes the power out of that line.
And it's a brilliant, there's a subtlety in that play that I think maybe deserves a little attention. Because when he says that, it's not always saying Aaron B was basically acting. He knew there was no driver in the van. So he wasn't being real either. He's also saying the producers put me in a van with no driver specifically for that fight to happen. That's also the deeper implication of this. Why wasn't there a fucking driver in the van? They just parked a van out there for him to go sit in?
I don't know. They're smoking.
Yeah, sure. That's how it works. It's like, we need you to just drop him off here and we're just going to shoot for an amount of time. Go take a smoke break. We'll call you when we need to drive away. The most important moment of the whole fucking episode. They're just like, do whatever you want. Go eat a sandwich. Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine. That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in.
Known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, Canopy is dermatologist recommended. This unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water. Best of all, the Canopy filtered shower head is hassle-free, installation's a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement. Go to canopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered shower head purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, Gore listeners can use our code ROSES at checkout to save an additional 10% off your Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Support for today's episode comes from OneSkin. If you have sensitive skin, you're going to want to hear about OneSkin's scientifically proven topical supplements.
This is face, eye, body, shield, and it can all be used with any of their other products, which are free from over 1,500 chemicals and preservatives that can make skin red, irritated, or itchy. Their products are safe for sensitive skin. It's just one of the reasons they've earned the Skin Safe seal of approval.
You got to keep that skin glowing if you want to be keeping up the level of face play that I've got going on. And OneSkin was founded by an all-woman team of scientists. Their products are backed by extensive lab and clinical data to validate their efficacy and safety on all skin types. Their topical supplements are the easiest way to keep your skin healthy and hydrated without the harsh ingredients or irritation found in other skincare products often. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code ROSES at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code ROSES. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support Gore and tell them that we sent you. Clues. Underwear drawers, they're not organized. They're like the Wild West, the final frontier of wardrobes. Mm. And there's no rhyme or reason to them. You got ones that are super old, different brands, etc. You don't know what to expect. But now I have felt the buttery soft comfort of Me Undies. And now I want to replace the whole drawer with Me Undies because those are my now go-to. I'm currently wearing their long sleeve shirt and my... which is not what this ad is about, but I am also wearing the super soft, sustainable modal fabric thong with no rollback waistband. You want that. You don't want it to be rolling. You don't want it to be showing. And I'm hooked. I don't want to wear anything else. It's all got to go now.
Well, this ad actually is kind of about that, Pace Case. Everybody knows MeUndies makes great underwear. It's in the name, MeUndies. But it's not just about underwear. You can explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and a whole bunch more. And their Move Me activewear collection is the softest activewear on the market. There's no doubt about it. Right now, you can get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/roses. That's MeUndies.com/roses for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies. Comfort. From the outside in.
Okay.
Well, speaking of most important episode moments of the episode, DLP then says, well, he asks him why people don't like him. He says, I think I kind of come off arrogant. DLP says, I like your style. We cut to a guy wearing earrings in the audience.
Yes.
And then Brayden Kringle's clip earrings for DLP. And DLP puts them on. I mean, DLH would never.
Oh, of course not. Never. But Brayden gifting, kringling DLP a pair of his signature earrings was my
play of the game.
This was Brayden's night. In my opinion, he was more important than Gary Turner almost. Not historically, but in terms of screen time and what he was able to do. Gary Turner had one thing to do, and he did it perfectly.
I think they can launch a beautiful dynamic duo.
Absolutely. I think Brayden might have sealed some possibility of showing up in Gary Turner's season. We will see.
Yes.
They're shooting it right now. And it's possible. It's possible to get him in that if they want it.
Yes.
But I just thought he really dominated the night. And this was such a beautiful play. It's a signature of the thing he was potentially most known for, at least visually. Mm-hmm. It's getting the host to mimic him visually. So the show essentially subconsciously becomes him for a moment. He is touching everything you see on screen now. Everything is Brayden. It's so fucking genius. And I just loved it.
Because it's The Bachelor, it's somewhat subversive, because it's kind of like experimenting in, like, you know, gender and presentation. And I just loved this so much.
Yeah, I did too. He really was the star of this season for me, like, hands down. I know that he didn't make it to hometowns, he didn't make it to playoffs, but this is the best player on the show by a mile.
We then see a gift from our Dark Lord. A VIP preview that is just Brayden and Kat Izzo.
By the way, Brayden's reaction to when DLP introduces this reel was my...
Face play of the game.
Because me thinks it reveals a little too much. When Dark Lord says, and now we're going to show a clip from your time in paradise. Brayden takes his hands and covers his entire face. And then he pulls them down and does a classic look through parted fingers. Mm-hmm. It is an anti-face play, face play. It was my face play of the game because it also leads me to believe.
Oh, you mean this one?
Did you take a picture of it too? Yes, that one.
I took a picture of it too.
That was my face play. It leads me to believe by that reaction that he does some shit in paradise that's going to be real embarrassing for him. And I can't fucking wait.
Oh.
Can't wait.
You think this is because he's the villain in Paradise too?
Yeah, I think so. Oh, no. And I can't wait. Oh, no. But the clip itself, then, we see the motherfucker is laying in a daybed at night with Kat Izzo. He's wearing a full-ass fucking fedora in Paradise at night. At night! He's not even on a day-date where it's kind of sunny and he needs to get some of
this. You got it. You
fucking
got
unreal!
It.
Fucking unreal! Who's gonna fucking...
He is bringing it.
He is going to be the king of fucking paradise. There's no one who will outplay this man on sand. No one.
I hope he stays on the whole time.
God damn, I hope he stays on paradise for 10 years.
Yes. He's the messy Mitch.
God, you know what I want to see so bad?
What?
He's in my... I've only seen a little bit of Messy Mitch. In my opinion, he is a stronger player than Messy Mitch. I want to say...
If Messy Mitch were experimenting with his clothing.
Yes. Perhaps. I want to see Brayden and Wells Adams have a little conversation. I want to see how that goes. Because for everything Brayden is... And I get Paradise is a different game and everybody there knows they're acting. But Brayden's whole thing is people are fake in this thing, and I'm not. I'm fucking real. Wells Adams, I mean, what is that going to be like?
Show us the tape of his...
the pep talk that Wells Adams gives to Brayden.
His famous unaired pep talks that he gives out.
Don't be fucking boring. Don't be fucking boring or they're going to cut you out of the show. Okay.
It's just him handing out fedoras to everyone now.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're just trying anything.
So we see this clip and it's Brayden in this daybed at night wearing his fedora. By the way, he's also covered in glitter. I don't know if that was his own choice. I think it was because she's not.
I didn't notice the glitter.
She does not have glitter on her. He has it fucking head to toe, all over his face, chest, arms, everywhere. So I think he's walking around in a fedora covered in glitter.
You don't think that was a date type?
No, I think that's just what, like, how he's fucking rolling.
I hope that's how he entered sand. Covered in glitter.
I hope that that's his thing. I hope every scene we see him in, he's fucking covered in glitter. Like, fucking covered in it. By the end of it, you can't even see his skin. He's just like dipping himself in glue and rolling. They do a human churro of him in golden glitter and glue.
That's what I mean. It seems like it's the result of a glitter churro situation.
Could be. But fuck, I can't wait.
I mean, I have to rewind, obviously, now. But he's also getting a romantic storyline.
Yes. This is...
Yes. That was a guttural scream.
It's just so fucking perfect. We've never seen a thing like this. We've never seen a thing where they take one player, a single player, and they say, we're going to show you a whole fucking clip of just this player. The person he's with in that daybed isn't even on that fucking stage. It's from a different season. It could have been him and a guy from the season about to get into a fight or whatever. Instead, they show us exactly what we love about Brayden. He is fucking wearing a goddamn hat at night and covered head to toe in glitter, and he's wearing those fucking earrings.
He's a vampire.
Yes, he's visually, you're just like, what is fucking going on here? But then we see that he's making out with Kat Izzo, who is a high-level fucking player from the prior season. So we also know he is sincere and a serious contender. Maybe they wind up together. We're watching it for that, too.
We're going to watch his love story.
Yes. He's not a fool, despite the fact that visually he is...
not flaming out. It's not going to be a Victoria situation.
Yes, exactly. So now we have a genuine interest. How the fuck do they start making out? What happened that day? I have to see that conversation. What do other guys think when he walks in a fucking fedora covered in glitter? I need to see that. They have perfectly advertised for Paradise, in my opinion. Anybody who watched tonight is watching fucking Paradise. I think they got us all, pal.
God. Incredible. I loved this. And... yeah, honestly, it reminded me of the first Paradise invite that we saw in Bachelor.
Salter?
Yeah, Ashley Salter on after Chris Soules' season was asked, like, oh, you're like really unique. Can you go on Bachelor in Paradise? But I don't, they didn't show a reel of her or anything like that. But this kind of felt like that type of moment.
Yeah.
And like, you and I both wanted to see more of him this season because he was such a like vibrant character, and now we're going to get it.
But, and this is also just like, it's like what you should be doing, I feel like, in Paradise, or how you should be marketing it, you know, show us a little thing that happens in an episode. The promos and shit are fine. And I think you have to do the promos when you don't like, let's just be real.
I guess I don't like seeing everything that happens.
I agree. But in reality, I believe you're going to see a Braden Bowers once every 20 years. I don't think you're going to have him every season to hang all this shit on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So next season, they're going to have to, unless he's back again, maybe you get 3 seasons tops out of him in Paradise. Then who the fuck are you going to hang that show's promotion on? I don't think you'll have somebody like him again. I can hope. I can hope, though. Producers, if you're listening, you got to get a Braden Bowers every season of The Bachelorette. Whatever that looks like. Just somebody who's very interesting and a possible match, like somebody who could maybe win the game. We have to believe that about our villain now. As long as you can do that, it's fucking great. That's what made him so fucking good, in my opinion. And his unique play style, his visual play style is just like, never seen that before, literally ever.
It's kind of like this generation's Deanie Babies.
Yes.
Mustache play.
I agree. Fuck.
Well, after this thrilling real... oh, and by the way, Kat Izzo says that he's a great kisser in this reel. So we're already getting a reverse Colton Underwood where they all shit on how he kissed. And DLP says to him, I'd say Paradise is more your dojo. Another Barbie ref.
Yes, they're giving Barbie free money here. I found that very interesting. Like they did. I don't think they were paid by Barbie. There was no big Barbie like promotion in this.
What do you mean? Yes, they were.
No, they were paid by Barbie for that group date for sure. But I'm saying I don't think they paid for him to be saying dojo and Knuff here.
Oh, no, no.
I think that's just free, little free song and dance that he was doing for him.
Yeah, he's working. He's always working.
But anyway, massive fucking cheers to this. And then DLP teases Xavier's the next hot seat portion 4. We get Xavier's recap reel, and then we come out of it. What are you feeling watching that back? Oh, it's tough to watch back. This is always how it goes. It's always, how did that feel watching that back? Not good. Every time, nobody's ever like, that was the best thing I've ever seen. Can we see it again?
Yeah.
Xavier gets in and he says he was, it's hard to watch because it brings up the past about being honest with her, but it didn't happen like he planned, and he stuck his foot in his mouth and he made a mistake instead of making her feel like she was the only woman for him. And DLP says, you told her you loved her in the auto zone. Why'd you wait all the way to the fucking auto zone, dude? You know that was a big time error. And he's like, well, what made me stick my foot in my mouth is that one of my biggest fears is for love to not be reciprocated. And at that hometown, he told her he was falling in love with her, didn't hear it back. He expected her to say it back. And so the fear took hold of him. And he says that he melted. DLP asked him what life's been like since that night. He says he was in love with her. And it's difficult to move on. He thinks about their time together literally every day. He got a therapist to do work on himself. So he at least fucking listen to our podcast, maybe. I don't know.
Xavier getting a therapist to do work on himself and say this on the Mental All was my...
Play of the game.
You know, we said that could have been a good choice to go along with the PTC about how, you know, you've grown from that situation. I loved that he did it here. I thought, you know, he did have really strong play this episode in terms of, like, he's coming off of this, like, kind of, like, villain edit situation. And I feel like he, you know, he's seems very, like, level-headed in this and, like, kind of earned it back. And I thought that this was a big part of it.
Definitely his goal, what he came into tonight needing to do, was basically apologize to the fourth audience. Mm-hmm. I'm not that guy. You can trust me. I'm on Paradise in a couple of weeks. So everybody chill out and don't be mad at me, was basically what he was trying to do. And I agree with you. I think that he did it pretty well.
And I want Charity to be happy and thrive. We get Charity as the next hot seat. And she goes, "Hey, boys," which I thought was just a fantastic opener. They discuss Nehemiah coming back, which was a little odd because it's like, wasn't it great he was there for you? It's like, she didn't know he was there to being the bartender, but yeah.
And also he's not there for her in that moment. I found it weird that they didn't put him in the audience at least to like wave to cut to him.
Yeah. Yeah. They talk about giving Brayden the fimp because of his charismatic chemistry, and Charity says, you know, it was an honor meeting you. I didn't like how you talked about our relationship, about turning off being the bachelorette. I never put it on for anyone. And I probably had more grace than I should have with you. And he's like, that's valid. You know, it was the environment. It's hard to not answer questions after we have that spark. And then we get a very interesting play.
Loved it.
A play that has rarely happened in our beloved game, but we did discuss in How to Win the Bachelor. Sean invites himself up onto a hot seat, and he just takes the moment to thank Charity for being the bachelorette. With grace and class, you made us all better men. And DLP says, did you invite yourself? You've broken the Bachelor hot seat code. Perhaps he has not read How to Win the Bachelor, because
no, I mean, we recommend do this every time. If you have the opportunity, and this is generally where the opportunity to do this is created, the lead will be on the hot seat by themselves, and they will do a shotgun smattering of questions to the players in their chairs. Mm-hmm. When you're selected for that, you can do exactly what Sean did here, and it shows a lot of fucking guts. It shows that you want it. So had this been an audition for Paradise, which it wasn't because they had already shot it, obviously, he would have been going. I'm pretty sure he went anyway because of what he was able to turn in during the regular season.
He would go anyway, but it's also like they're going to put it in the edit because he's on Paradise and they want to highlight those players. So it's a great, great move. Tanner calls it one of the best experiences of his life. John B. says, what happened with us? Charity says, nothing. You're awesome. DLP brings up Xavier, and Charity says, you know, this should have been told before, like after Nola, and he never saw himself on one knee. And we get this heartbreak reunion hot seat between Xavier and Charity, and then a reel of their romance. And Xavier denounces cheating.
Yeah, he's like, first of all, I denounce cheating. I mean, that was spoken like somebody who really thought about what's the first thing I'm going to say when I sit in that chair.
Yeah, I got to get one thing done, and that's what this is.
So, it's like, okay, now you've got my attention. Oh, fuck. I found that very funny, but obviously a necessary play. And yeah, they go through this. I denounce cheating. And he says, I wanted to be with you and I was ready to be with you in my heart, but I had doubt in my head. I can be faithful. It just didn't come out the right way. And Charity's like, we were a week out from proposals. She's keeping the fucking gas on here. And she's like, I wish the conversation would have happened earlier. If they would have had the conversation earlier, then I wouldn't have taken you to the fucking fantasy suites, dude. Mm-hmm. Which, again, reveals that he was playing a game. He also said it was a bad play earlier.
He held it.
Xavier is analyzing this shit from a very player-minded perspective, I feel it at this point. But they go through this whole conversation. She's like, if you have love for somebody, you won't do that to somebody, plain and simple. She admonishes him for the AutoZone love level 4 here. And she says, you were digging yourself deeper and deeper. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? And he says he just wanted to give him a chance because he really loved her. He keeps hitting that. Charity says she asked him what reassurance he needed. She specifically asked if her not love level 4-ing him was the problem, and he said no. Mm-hmm. So all the basically his entire foundation of his argument here is just cut out from under him. And she uses the sacred word defense. I don't take the words lightly. She brings up his inability to confirm that he wouldn't cheat on her. And Xavier says, when you're getting married, there's a fear of commitment and marrying the wrong person. I allowed it to consume me instead of honing in on what was beautiful with her. He still cries about the conversation, so he's playing here some imaginary or phantom tear play, just trying to get us to imagine him crying. Now he wished that his answers would have reflected.
Yeah, it would have been good to reproduce those tears here.
Oh, you have to. You can't simply say, "Oh yeah, I've been crying about it." That's not the same as us seeing the tear on the face, seeing the face twisted into a mask of pain, emotional suffering.
Give us a Charity tear play. I honestly think that one of that shot of her with just the glass, completely glass face is like one of the most iconic images from the season.
Absolutely. And yeah, he's saying this shit. He's trying to play phantom tear play to a tear play fucking Mozart. It's not going to work, dude.
Yeah. He says he still has feelings, but it's good to have closure. It really messed me up. One more thing. He cringles this knit rose. This was a cute bury the hatchet moment.
I wrote down this rose looks busted. Am I crazy? It just looked weird to me.
I mean, a knit rose is never gonna...
We never got a close-up of it.
You think because it was bad?
Yeah. I think they purposely were like, ew.
Well, do you also think that he actually knit this?
Yeah, I do think he did that.
Hmm.
We saw him knitting. That was his whole deal.
Yeah.
He did the knitting with the on the hometown date, remember? Took her to the special place.
Yeah. Yeah, no. You think I don't remember the knitting hometown? Of course.
Now you got me in conspiracy town. Did he not make that rose? I have to know this.
Well, I don't know. I'm wondering. He should make a parasocial play of him making it.
Yes. Xavier, this is the only way you can get out of... this is the only true apology to the nation. You have to show us a picture of the rose.
Show us how to knit a rose.
Show us your tutorial.
No, he does. He plays this very well. I thought he says, I'm hopeful you found your forever person. And we see a Barbie ad. I mean, was this not an ad that they made for Barbie?
Was it? I don't know.
It was them like focusing on the Ken outfits. I don't know. I mean, maybe it is just free advertising. And that's like something that Barbie's really been able to do a lot of.
I agree. I think it probably was because that was like one of the most memorable things from the season. I also thought it was interesting here that it's almost like a new presentation of the blooper reel. DLP's introducing these chunks of it, like segments of the blooper reel. So it's a...
mini bloopers. Yeah. We've seen that a few times before where it's split up.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah. We see there... It's John B. doesn't have balls. They're manscaping... Brayden with a manscaper. Aaron says he has a full kitten on the back. Hell. We see... Oh, this one made me laugh, actually. All the guys kept hitting the chandeliers.
Yeah, that one I thought was funny, too. Other than that, we see Sean crushing a plant. There's a set falling apart. A bunch of guys are hitting their head on the light fixture.
Tanner has a makeup that's interrupted by Dark Lord Palmer dressed as Bigfoot. Their labor of love moment.
And DLP, by the way, intros that. After this, he says, speaking of creatures, he says that phrase coming off of himself in the Bigfoot outfit. He says, speaking of creatures, we got Captain Tom, who was the boat pilot that took Tanner and Sean on their 2-in-1. So I guess he's trying to talk about the alligators, but it does kind of come off like he's calling Captain Tom a creature. And Captain,
I thought you were talking about Bigfoot.
Yeah, he comes off the Bigfoot thing. They play that clip of Bigfoot, and then he goes, it comes back to him, and he goes, and speaking of creatures.
Oh, God. Not a good segue, but Captain Tom being in the audience?
Yeah.
I love this.
Captain Tom was my...
Jorge Moreno... Bystander of the week.
And season. They fucking brought a bystander to the men tell all, and it don't end there. They gave the man lines. DLP asked him what it was like taking them all on the date. He calls Charity chastity like 5 fucking times. Is that a bit, or is this guy really just like, what the fuck is going on?
I don't know. I could not tell.
I couldn't either. Oh, fuck. So he doesn't know what her name is, but she's a beautiful young lady, and whoever she picks is a lucky man. And DLP says, who would you have given the rose to? Sean or Tanner? Tom has a fucking rose, and he gives it to Sean, who hugs him. Now, this is an official 0-point rose. I don't know what Sean's rose quotient is this season, but this fucking guy got a 0-pointer at the men tell all from a fucking bystander that was in his 2-on-1.
This is not a point rose.
It's a 0-point rose.
Do you give Charity a rose for the knit rose?
No, because the show didn't give her that rose. The show gave Sean that rose.
You're saying because this is the show.
Yes. It's an official bachelor rose. It was given in an official bachelor fucking game?
I feel like it's given as a joke.
Okay. Does he get to keep it? Put it in a scrapbook, put it in a frame next to his football jersey, next to a samurai sword.
Next to a samurai sword in his dojo.
Yeah. This is an official rose. 100% official rose. 100%.
Look, we'll let the pit decide. I don't know about this one.
Okay, pick and decide it. I'm saying it's a 0-point rose. I think it's an official rose. We saw it given on screen. Hmm. He accepted it, and it is out of a rose ceremony. Mental all's part of the game.
It certainly is out of a rose ceremony.
Mental all's part of the game.
It's
like a fimp. Only one guy got it.
It was a hypothetical rose. It was who would you have?
I saw it. It was real. And he chose.
But they said it's hypothetical. Okay.
And then they made him give it to him. They did. Look, they could have done that bit. They could have been like, Captain Tom, hypothetically, who would you have chosen? He could have just said a name and then they have a funny conversation. They went out of their way to give this man a fucking literal rose that he gave to the fucking guy who accepted it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I feel like that's like, kiss it like an when that audience member who was like paid to kiss the cat man.
Yeah.
That kiss doesn't go in the kiss count.
What?
Does it?
Fuck yeah. I thought it did. If you kiss in the record, that's a kiss.
Maybe it did.
I don't know. Anyway, whatever the case, Pitt can decide, is this truly a 0-pointer or not? I don't know, and I don't know how we're going to decide this. Will there be a poll? What are we doing?
I say this is a bit. We're going to have to do a poll. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but whether it's a bit or not, I'm saying, like, it's all a bit.
He's in full camo, too, which I loved.
How many fucking roses have they scripted into the game? Yeah, his fucking shirt. He just came from fucking Cabela's. He's going fishing immediately after this thing gets them taping.
He definitely went to Cabela's.
Yeah. It's so fucking good.
He only shots at Cabela's.
Anyway, I loved it. He was my Jorge Moreno. Fucking loved it.
Also, DLP then says, thank you, young pop.
Yeah.
Which, isn't that what Captain Tom called someone in the boat?
Yes.
that attention to detail. This was like, I don't know. I wrote here, I was like, this feels like completely different producing. It feels lighthearted.
Yes. Lighthearted, but hearted as well. This scene is like, you know, we're saying this is funny. It's a bit. They bring this guy back. Then what they fucking do in the very next segment is say, here, we've had our fun, and this is all lighthearted, and even the villain, we like him. He's saying funny stuff. Everything is on the up and up here. There's no shroud over this season of, like, a dude in blackface in his high school yearbook, at least so far. Cross my fingers. We're almost out of it. We can do this!
And we're almost out of
it. We can do it!
I think. I mean, we didn't know about FPP.
No, that's true. That was a dark moment, but it wasn't as dark as things in the past. Even the darkest moment so far of this season is not quite as dark.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, then we have this next fucking segment.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
DLP says it's Charity still in the hot seat, and DLP says you've been an amazing bachelorette. I have some friends who know something about what you've been going through, and he brings out Trista, Rain, Sutter, Desiree, Hartsock, Siegfried, and Deanna Pappas. These are your bachelorettes 1, 9, and 4, all incredibly important in their own ways. Obviously, Trista Sutter is the foundation. I would argue Trista Sutter is more important than Alex Michelle.
She's the matriarch.
She is not only the matriarch, she's the first person to have a successful relationship from The Bachelor. She is married to a ring winner. They have children who she tells us are 20 fucking years old at this point. Or their children are 16 and they've been married for 20 years.
Almost playing age.
They were married on TV in a very big, famous fucking thing. This is like Babe Ruth in baseball or something. I don't even know. It's bigger than that because she is also like a part of the fucking game.
She hosts AFOG. Yeah.
It's bigger than that. So she's there. The foundation of this entire show is there, sitting next to the current Bachelor, giving her praise, saying that she's proud of her, saying, I am the matriarch of this entire franchise. I cast my blessing upon you. And that's not all, ladies and gentlemen.
And we're all here for you. Yeah.
Deanna Pappas. Save her for last. She's the most interesting one to me. Desiree Hartsock.
Yes.
Siegfried. Ninth Bachelorette. She came from Sean Lowe, Goldini's season 17. He married his ring winner. She married her ring winner. That was a perfect year.
She has children with her ring winner.
Yes. And fantastically beloved by Bachelor Nation.
She has a book with her ring winner. I felt so good when they came out.
So did I. Like,
other than, you know, obviously the DLP sign, this was my other highlight. Just two people being with their ring winners, just that. Like, I mean, we haven't really gotten that in a minute. And then Deanna Pappas. Oh my God. Incredible.
Yeah.
She's having a renaissance right now, I would say. It is the era of Deanna. And she takes this moment and utilizes it to the best of her ability.
But even the choice to have Deanna Pappas be the third member of what is a Council of Crowns here by the producers speaks volumes. It's not just about getting married and having kids. She is also a queen. She is also royalty. Mm-hmm. She's recently divorced, did not marry a ring winner, nothing like that. She married a guy who was the brother of somebody in the show, right?
Yeah. Or cousin. Yeah. Brothers, twin brothers, maybe. The twin was on Bachelor Pad.
Yes.
Stagliano.
Yes.
Yeah. This is what we're talking about. This is legacy. And we give a reminder of why they're queens, as DLP says. We see Deanna. We see Desiree and Chris. We see their final rose ceremony. I Want to Grow Old with You. We see Trista's wedding. Trista's standing Huju at her wedding. And then we see them today discuss Trista as a 16-year-old to think about this is where we are now.
This, may we, for 1 second, speak about this little montage. Mm-hmm. It gave me fucking chills. Because for somebody who is a fan of this show, you're not just watching these people go through these things. You're watching these pillar fucking moments in history of this game that all of it is built on. And you get to remember it exactly as it was. Like, we all remember those moments, but seeing them again, even just seeing like Trista's wedding in 4:3 aspect ratio, it really is like, oh fuck, this thing has been around for a long goddamn time. It puts weight behind everything you're seeing. Everything Charity is doing is built on these things. All of these crazy moments that have happened. I just thought it was so fucking smart, so brilliantly done. And it really, it gave it that, the gravitas that I know I feel when I think about all this shit, like what this show has really meant over the course of 20 years in terms of reality television, American pop culture, just everything that it plugs into.
It's meant a lot to a lot of people. And
for sure,
it means a lot to the people who are watching this show. And I totally agree with you. The choice of Deanna, like, makes it like this is someone that we can relate to. Hey, is she in the contention for being a crown again?
And I got to say this, don't stop with Deanna Pappas. You got to do this at every tell-all. You got to have this same Council of Crowns at every tell-all to come back and give advice or say good job or whatever mm-hmm. the case may be. And don't stop with Deanna Pappas. You got to spread it to everybody.
Bring in Gingin.
Bring them all back into the fold. Yes, Gingin first. You get Gingin out there. We got a different show. You have to bring them all back into the fold, even the ones you didn't like for a minute or two or still may not mm-hmm. like. Find a way to get them all back into the fold.
Check in with them. Yeah.
They are all valuable. They are all pieces of this franchise that we have watched at least a full season of. Even Juan Pablo. I know everybody fucking hates him and he was the first villain Bachelor and all the shit. Get him fucking back in. Talk to him about that shit. Bring him back. Even just for a little thing. Like, to celebrate the legacy of the show means that you have to fucking kind of embrace all of it and not have these attitudes about like who is in quotes bachelor royalty or not. They fucking all are, period.
We see Charity also acknowledge Trista too. I wouldn't be here without you. I just, it's so, so nice. And we then see one of my favorite moments, Deanna goes last and she goes, where do I begin? I'm in a transitional phase and I'm finding myself again, truly resilient, single. And she sticks her tongue out and she makes my
face play of the game.
She then says, call me for Golden Bachelorette. I thought it was really a way to shine in this moment. I can't wait to see what she is doing next. I think keep bringing them back.
I agree, 100%.
And bring Charity back. And don't cross her. We see them give advice, and they say forgiveness and prioritize the relationship. So because there's a lot of pressure and unwanted opinions, and Deanna says, remember who you are at your core. People will try to break you down. You're amazing. You're all of those things. And they tell her she's doing incredible. Trista feels maternal towards everyone on the show. Trista really emphasizes the, like, we're family. She even says that at one point.
Yeah.
And they all love Charity. And she says, I didn't know where I was going to church today. I guess this, do you know what this means?
Mm-mm. I assumed it was like a spiritual experience.
Yeah, like getting a bunch of greetings. DLP says it's really empowering. And then we see where we love Charity. And now we're going to talk to our golden bachelor. We see Gary, you're so golden in the, as a sign.
This, by the way, the Council of Crowns here was for me the highlight of the night. I thought this was like just perfectly done. It's really something that I think should be added to every tell-all.
Yeah. I'm hoping it's not like a 20th anniversary special. I agree. They need it. It doesn't always have to be Trista, but like...
No, nor should it be. That's what I'm saying with Juan Pablo and shit. Like, throw him in once. You know what I mean? In a group of three people. Just like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who they are.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be like ring winners. Yeah, I agree.
Get one from classic era, one from experimental era, one from Mesnian era, and maybe one from professional era. You can leave out the bubble seasons. Just kidding. I'm kidding. Of course. Everyone is welcome. All are welcome. All are royalty.
We see this Gary reel for Golden Bachelor. We get his PTC, his death of his wife. He produces tears. He talks about this dream house they closed on when before she got sick of a bacterial infection. Horrible, horrible story.
He's playing tears all through this. I gotta say,
yeah.
This whole I don't cry when I watch TV. This shit choked me up a little bit. This motherfucker's gonna be a star, ladies and gentlemen. He's very good at what he is doing here. I mean, an innate player for sure. And he even then, they cut to this fucking bar, and he's in this bar telling people, well, I passed the STD test and the drug test. He's got fucking comedy. This guy's got it all. He's a complete package. It's unfucking real.
He is unfucking real. The part I cried at is a little bit later where he's giving advice, but he just does seem so genuine. We see he's, you know, him with his family. He leads a toast to find someone to complete the family. And we see him with his little white dog. And Gary's dog was my...
Creature of the week.
Seemed like he was supporting him and, you know, just needs that one extra part of the family.
Gary's dog was also my
creature of the week.
Didn't have a lot to choose from, but this was a very cute creature, and I also loved seeing him practicing the rose ceremony with his daughters and granddaughters.
Yes, it was so sweet.
I just can't wait for this fucking show. Then we come back in the studio and DOP says, isn't he great? And he brings him out.
We see Brayden tears, and Brayden leads a Gary chant.
Yeah.
When he comes in, and a standing ovation.
Yep. And then he has this conversation with DLP where DLP is like, how are you feeling? And he says, I feel like I'm the last ingredient going into a smoothie and you've got your finger on the button to start the blender. This man is full of gems immediately. Uh-huh. They really have found gold, if I may say, in this Golden Bachelor. DLP asked him what it's like to become famous, essentially, and he says he was amazed when he had radio and TV announcers showing up on his driveway. He goes, it's hard to find where I live, and I live there.
Yeah.
This guy's never going to stop. These jokes are going to be nonsense. I can't fucking wait. God, this is going to be good.
They tell him he's trending. He says, if I knew what that mean, I'd appreciate it. It's a really good thing, Gary, he says to him. And they... He's so wholesome in it. They then show all of these social media posts about him, and Gary can get it. He's like, what does get it mean? Granddaddy.
God, I wrote under this. His name was Clayton Eckerd. His name was Clayton Eckerd. His name was Clayton Eckerd.
I stand with Clayton Eckerd. We all are Clayton Eckerd.
God, I know. It's
yeah, I know.
I'm not casting any fucking dispersion against this season. This season is great. This moment was great. It's just very hard for me to forget Clayton Eckerd and this exact same scene that took place when they announced him as Bachelor, only the tweets were different.
They could have done this version for him.
Of course. Things are different now, and that's good, but we must take a moment to remember.
There are thirsty people tweeting about all of these people.
Absolutely.
DLP asks, will there be fantasy suites? Gary says, I would say yes, but maybe like a different, and he's watching Charity season. DLP says, oh, you're doing your homework. And Gary aspires to be like them regarding Charity's men, a bunch of cool guys. And then Brayden steps in. You've done it. You've had that relationship. Trust your gut. That photo brought tears to my eyes. He calls back his own tears.
Unreal.
With Gary.
He's so good.
He's creating this dynamic duo.
He's so fucking good.
It's so smart. And it's like on the fly that you're even doing that. You don't know Gary's going to be there.
Yeah. Then Aaron S. tries to come in. We couldn't possibly give you advice. We aspire to be like you. Too late. Brayden already stole this spot. He was the first responder, and he's better than you. There's no way you're going to outshine what Brayden just did. DLP says it's an interesting opportunity for him, too. You had 43 years of beautiful love. I'm married relatively newly. Do you have any advice for a long-lasting marriage? And he goes, one thing. Look at your spouse every day and tell them you love them, because the day comes too soon for one of you that you can't do that, and I'd give anything to be able to do that one more time. Give him a hug. Tell him you love him.
This is where I cried.
Jesus Christ.
This is where I cried.
This is unreal. This is unfucking real.
This is unreal for my schedule. Because now I have to watch it.
Oh, yeah. He sold the shit out of this show.
I literally cried. Yeah.
You know how like when they sometimes do the thing where it's like, you get to meet the first five players live right here.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, this is what you do.
No.
This is what you fucking do. You almost want to have your lead play their fucking PTC live at one of these things.
Yeah, pitch everyone.
That's how you sell it. Because I got to say, this guy fucking sold this show. I'm telling you, anybody who watched tonight is going to fucking watch Paradise and Golden Bachelor. They sold the fuck out of both of those shows tonight. Goddamn, such a great job. And they really have a super talent, I think, in Gary.
Yeah.
DLP then asked him, can you find love like that twice in a lifetime? And he's like, no. And that's not what I'm looking for. At the age of 70, it's different. I had it when I was in my 20s and 30s. That's how I felt.
He's media trained.
He's unreal. He's like, I'm going to find a new person to make me whole, but it's not going to be the same relationship I had with Tony. Standing fucking ovation. DLP says, Gary's journey to find love begins this September. It's unreal. The way they have built this, there was no frivolous fighting in it. They didn't have to drum up some drama that wasn't real. Those guys didn't like Brayden, and they got them to fight with him, and he's so fucking good on camera.
And they said, fuck pee-pee.
And the fuck pee-pee thing. Like, it was all pretty interesting. Then we're getting these good hot seats where we get to see Xavier do what he's going to do. We get to see Brayden, and then we get the Council of Crowns, and now we got Golden Bachelor. It's like...
And the Brayden in Paradise, and... Here's my problem. Mark your calendars for this September, says DLP.
Yeah.
Give us the dates. It's August.
I know.
Dark Lord Bomber. Come on.
Well, look, they did a great job of selling both shows. I think even they're probably going to be overlapping each other, even though that's happening. I think a lot of people will watch both. But we get this final portion here. Next week, Charity's journey comes to a conclusion. Here's how's it going to end. And we get this promo, more emotional and heartbreaking than you could even imagine. Charity's in love. She's getting engaged, but doesn't know who it's going to be to. Aaron kisses Charity. That was surprising to me. Charity is glad he didn't give up on it. Surprising to me.
I know. Post-mortem kiss.
There's new pressure. She's reconsidering everything. Joey's love of a foreign. Dalton's wanting her as his wife. She's in love with three guys. She's not okay. Charity's mom comments on her tear play. Tells her she's going to have to come down to one person, and Dalton tears. Joey's nervous. Aaron feels good. Charity needs help. Mom tells her that she thinks Charity knows deep down she has to make this decision. Charity tears. Panic attack. Not supposed to say goodbye to somebody you love. Next Monday, 3-hour live finale. I cannot fucking wait for this. Thanks to everyone. And then the guys come on stage. Hugs and handshakes are all around in the tag. Gary is standing there meeting most of the players. They're all wishing him luck.
I love this. I was like, this is what we want to see.
And then Braden just fucking eats this up too. Don't read the comments. Ha ha ha. Gary's like, I really like watching you on the show. And Braden tells him, you have a bunch of women who want to meet you. Let that hype you up. You're the most wanted man in America in a good way. Braden delivers the final commercial for Golden Bachelor in this program.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Braden did in this episode made him my...
MVP.
Never seen anything quite like it. This is a guy who wasn't even in the playoffs, dominated the season, in my opinion, and continued to do so at the mental. Seeing him on stage playing against these other players really put into perspective for me how much better he is than all of them and what a great fucking player he has been in his rookie season. And I am so looking forward to Paradise because of this.
Braden was also my MVP. I mean, no contest. This entire episode was about him. We got the reel of him. He's going to get, you know, the Crystal Nielsen, the villain spin edit into Romance in Paradise. That's what I want.
Yeah. He really has that ability to kind of go into Aaron Clancy territory, like turning a phrase, being really funny and entertaining. But he also...
Oh, my God. I want to see him in Clancy.
Please, if... I think Clancy has a girlfriend or something, though. I don't think he's ever going to come back.
Damn it.
I don't think he'll ever be back, but Bonsall might. I can see him and Bonsall. Bonsall just teams up with him again. He's like, oh, I was kind of the sidekick to this other guy who's a little bit like you.
I kind of like the... I don't really want to be doing the whole thing, you know? I like to have a fewer speaking lines.
Yeah. But this was a fantastic tell-all. I just am blown away. Again, thanks to whoever put that sign in the show. Thanks to whoever held it aloft. I still can't believe that we had DLP on a sign with a demonic meme in the fucking audience. I'm hopeful that we will be hosting a group date at some point in the near future where we teach them how to podcast or something, you know? It's like the lead comes in and we teach the players how to interview the lead on a podcast.
Yes, that is our ideal date.
It does feel like the show is embracing the podcast community a little bit more. We'd be happy to be any part of it.
I mean, we're going to host a group date. I now believe that after seeing this sign.
I know. I feel like it's not a 0% chance. I'll say that much. But thank you, everybody, for joining us tonight. This truly was a pleasure to watch. I just feel like tonight really crystallized for me the fucking people making the show care about the show again. They like the show again. That is what it felt like. And I know I've been like kind of cautiously optimistic this whole season with Charity. I'm like, fuck, that's a good episode. Shit, that's a good episode. Okay, Braden's out. Is it going to hold up? Oh, shit, it held up. I have been like hesitant, I guess, to say my love level 4 to this season.
but I'm doing it now.
Mm.
After tonight, I can confidently say, Bachelorette season 20, I'm in love with you.
Wow, I was not expecting a love level 4 in the AutoZone like this. Really towards the end of the date.
It's kind of the AutoZone. We have one episode. No, I played it exactly perfectly. It's right before finals. This is when you play it.
Look, I agree with you. There's a reason we keep doing the podcast before the podcast, and that is because we are so excited by this season. I loved this Men Tell All. I hope that the tone continues, not just for the 20th reunion episode. I want to see that like attention to detail and like energy and effort that you can like feel is really put into this.
Totally.
To elevate it.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I agree.
I can't believe Opto 2023 worked.
Seemingly it has. But we will be back on Friday with another This Week in Bachelor Nation. Grace Ann Parks, Dark Seeker, is going to have grafting for you this week as well. And before we go, as always, what is that dwab at?
It's been 7,813 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then